Good morning, everyone, and we certainly want to welcome the folks and young folks from Fall River and the ones in Shall we turn the Bible this morning, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, please. And commencing to read at verse 31. What shall we say, then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I would suppose if we were to look at the whole Word of God, we would say this is one of the greatest portions of the whole of the Scripture. Particularly, I would suggest that it's true of the book of Romans, and also Romans chapter 8. We have been looking at the book of Romans for some time, and we will likely continue to do so for some time as the Lord opens a way for us. And we see here how that in the previous chapter, verses in this chapter, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, we share the righteousness now of the grace of God. We really receive the grace of God. And now the law cannot condemn us. We see this particularly in the first part of this chapter. And then as we go down the chapter, we notice there is no obligation because we have the Spirit of God who enables us to overcome the flesh and really live for God. Further down the chapter, we notice as we have been studying it, there is no frustration because we share the glory of God through the blessed hope of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we want to look at there is no separation because we can experience the love of Christ. And so, as we look at verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And so as we look at this portion of the Scripture this morning, you see, we do not really need to fear the past or the present or the future, because we are secure in the love of Christ. Beloved friend, this morning, if you're not here, or if you're here and not really entering into the love of Christ, if you really haven't been to the foot of the cross in spirit, and there saw the Lord Jesus there meeting every just demand against all your sins, I trust that somehow this morning, these precious things that we find of the security of one who really trusts Christ will thrill and fill your heart. Now, Paul presents to us five things to prove that there is no separation. Five things in this text this morning. Between the believer of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Lord. First of all, God is for us. The Father is for us, and he has proved it by giving his Son. Notice verse 32. He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Father has proved his love for you and I this morning by giving his Son. Let me say this. As the children, as the young people were singing this morning, he'll not do it against your will. You'll never do it that way. For you see, it wouldn't be God's law if it was against your will. He wants your will in every detail. And he wants to show you that your will should be broken because of the cross of Christ. And so as we look at this morning, we see the Father, God of God, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This verse the Lord Jesus spoke on. But when we come to this verse, how he that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? There is no way in which you could ever earn God's righteousness, because you see, it's a divine gift of God. There is no way we could ever measure the love of Christ, because it's the gift of God. So this morning, as we look at this portion, you see the Son of God is for us as well. Notice verse 32 again. He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? But then just glance your eye up the page and look at verse 26. The Holy Spirit is for us. But likewise the Spirit himself. That's what it means. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Verse 28, notice it says, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So God is making all things work for us. You see, in that verse, his providence and his person is for us. But notice again how that in verse 32, Christ died for us. He that spared not his own Son. You see, here the argument that the Apostle Paul is bringing to our attention this morning is from the lesser to the greater. If when we were sinners, Romans chapter 5, God gave his best, now as believers in Christ, now as those of his children, will he not give us all things that we need? Well, not all things that our greed reaches for, but all things that we need. Everything that we need this morning, God has provided for you and I in his Son. You see, the Lord Jesus said something very similar to this when he was talking in Matthew chapter 5, don't worry and fear. Remember how he said that God cares for the sparrow or the bird and the sheep and even the lilies. If he cares for those things without real soul life, how much more will he care for you. Oh, beloved, the child of God this morning, God is dealing with His own children on the basis of Calvary's love. Never, never measure God's love by your own experience. I'm going to repeat that. I want you to listen to those words. Never, never measure God's love by your own experience. Always measure God's love by Calvary. Always measure the love of God through Christ for you by the cross of Christ. And so this morning, I want you to think of that with me. God gives us freely all things for His own people. Oh, to see that God's plan and God's purpose as we look at this portion of the Scripture this morning, God has a plan and a purpose. And you see, God has justified us by verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You see, God has declared me righteous in Christ. No one else. You see, I don't want to be declared righteous by anyone else because, you see, only God knows my heart. And only God sees my faith in Christ. And you know, isn't it wonderful that the Bible makes it so crystal clear? So really clear in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, there is therefore, now he says, we are justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, we can only be brought into real righteousness of God through the cross of Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin had left that crimson stain upon us, and it's only His blood. And wash it white as snow. Marvelous grace of our God. You see, the devil would love to accuse us. Just for a second with me, those of you who have your Bible, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 12, the last book of the Bible. And I want you to look at a verse that I think we, as believers in Christ, we should maybe look at more often. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a voice, a loud voice, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. This is going to be part of a song we're going to be singing. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down out of heaven, ultimately. He is chained for 1,000 years, which accused them before God day and night. Beloved, saints of God this morning, remember this as we look at this. This is the accusations that you have in your conscience this morning against your faith in Christ is the accuser, Satan. Never forget this. Never forget this. Satan is at work. Let me say this to you and I as Christians this morning. When you begin criticizing the people of God, you're doing the accuser's work. I hope you'll not forget that. I hope that'll be written on all our hearts. And when you begin to criticize the people of God, the saints of God, you're doing Satan's work. Please don't forget that. And so you see, because he's the accuser. But you know, isn't it interesting as well as we think of this. You see, he will not accuse us. Why? Notice with me, please, again, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is God who justifies. Understanding justification brings peace. And if you know, beloved saint of God, if you're not at peace in your heart, if you're not at peace in your heart, you see, you're not taking in what justification really means. It means simply God. God himself has justified us. Why? Because something that you're nice about? Something that you're lovely about? Never. It's because you're a sinner saved by the grace of God and no other reason. You see, and God declares the believing sinner righteous in Christ, that declaration never, never changes. You know, the Queen signed her declaration of the Canada Act yesterday. But that doesn't mean that our Canada Act will never change. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we have it in Canada today, is because there are certain things that we want to be able to change without the authenticity or the authority of the Queen or the Parliament of Great Britain. But let me tell you here this morning, I have a document that will never change. No change, Jehovah knows. And you see this declaration that God has said that every sinner saved by the grace of God has a declaration, I'll never bring you into court again. I deserve. I don't deserve that. Never. I never deserve. But you see, it's undeserving sinners that receive the grace of God. Our experience changes from day to day, but our justification never changes. We even may accuse ourselves. And I think that maybe we're all asked sometimes in the bracket of this, look, there you are, you did it again. There you are, I told you. You see, there you are, accusing yourself. But you know, isn't it interesting? But God will never, never take us to court again. Jesus has paid. Oh, to get a hold of this beloved child of God this morning. Jesus has paid the penalty. Oh! And pray. So we pray. You know, let us look at verse 34. You see, it says so clearly, who is he that condemns us? It is Christ that died. You know, it's interesting, we have a dual intercession that keeps the believer secure in Christ. Why? Notice verse 34 again. It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Ah, beloved, to see what Christ has done. To get a glimpse. To understand the infinite sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and his glorious work that he has accomplished on the cross, but not only there, but now live. Now live in the glory. You see, glance back again to verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart, which is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession of the saints according to the will of God. You see, the Son intercedes. The Holy Spirit intercedes. Isn't it wonderful that the same Savior who died for me this morning and died for you as a child of God now interceding for you at the right hand of God. Oh, amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was dead and now I'm free. You see, is it wonderful as our high priest, he can give us grace that we need in this Christian life. You know, beloved believer, and this morning, let me say that there's no need of living a defeated life. None of us need this. Just for a moment, turn over in your Bible, just for a second, in this connection to Hebrews chapter 7, just for a second. I want you to notice with me, Hebrews chapter 7. I want you to see with me again the beautiful unfinished work of the Lord Jesus. I think we looked at this, have been looking at this in our Bible study, but I think we can again look at it with real profit. He can give us grace that we need to overcome. Notice now, please, with me, verse 14 of the 7th chapter. Verse 14. For it is heaven that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Well, notice, and it is yet far more evident that with similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Notice, not after the power of a carnal commandment, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, which hope we draw nigh to God. You see, as advocate, he can and does forgive us our sins in accordance with 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. There, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation, he's the mercy seat for my sins, and not for mine only, but for the whole world. You see, intercession means he's representing, at this very moment, he's representing me in the presence of God. For you and I can't represent ourselves there. He's representing me. And he's representing you. You see, we are not only saved by his death because the penalty has been paid, but also we've been saved by his life. That's what he says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. There it says, we have been saved by his life. You remember Peter. Peter was a beautiful example of this. Remember how that Peter, in Matthew and Luke 22, how that the Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee as wheat. Ah, but I have prayed for thee that your faith will not fail. I pray for thee. Oh, beloved, this morning he's interceding. And oh, he's interceding on our behalf. There on our behalf. You know, someone has said years ago, and if I'm not mistaken, it was Robert Chapman who made the statement. He said, if we could hear Christ praying for us in the next room, if we could just listen, and in that next room off of this auditorium, we could hear the Savior praying. Listen. We could hear him praying. If we could really hear him praying,
would be able to face lions. But you see, it makes no difference as to distance. He is really praying. Oh, to see. Oh, to enter into some of this with our real experience in our hearts and in our lives. However, let's look at the fifth thing in relation to this, and let's look at verse 35, please. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You see in these verses, really, in verses 31 to 34, God has proved that he cannot fail. He's not about to show that he cannot fail. But you see, is it possible for you and I to fail him? And you say, oh, yeah. We've all experienced that. Yes, it's possible. You know, suppose some great trial or tribulation comes in or temptation comes and we fail, then what? And Paul deals now with this section. That's what he's going to take up with this section and explains that nothing can separate us, even in our failure, even in our weakness, that there is nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You know, somehow or other, there's a grave danger for us to, when something of an unusual thing happens to us, a real change comes into our experience, and you see, we enter into some real difficulties of life, because, you see, this is what happens, because life is real, and the Christian life doesn't change in that area because the Christians have troubles the same as other people have troubles. That's life. We somehow think that because we're Christians that we shouldn't have difficulties. But I'm sure that most of us who have been saved any length of time have learned that lesson. But isn't it interesting that often the very reason that God brings trial and difficulty, allows trial and difficulty, sometimes even brings it into our lives. Let's turn back just for a second to Romans 5. We may have forgotten this portion. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 2 for connection. By whom we have access. Romans 5 verse 2. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory. And getting along wonderfully well. Is that what it says? No. It's glory and tribulation. Also, knowing that tribulation was patience. And patience experience and experience hope. The hope that maketh not ashamed because the love of God, love of Christ or the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, you see, he's assuring us in verse 28 of this chapter. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That the difficulties of life are working for our good and not against us. We endure trial for his sake. Oh, to see this. For you see, verse 36 is written and it says, for thy sake we are killed, or if you wish, that word is not the right rendering in that view. Rather, we have difficulty, we have trial, we have temptation. All day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You see, and since we do, you know, he's not going to forsake us. Of course not. He's closer in our difficulties. Oh, to learn this. You see, further, he gives us power. Notice verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors within the law. You see, beloved child of God, He gives us power to overcome. The power is there. Oh, God, bring me into that place of weakness where I will understand the power of God. All very natural weakness of the flesh, and we still struggle. You know, the Christian life is not a struggle. The Christian life is really realizing our weakness. You know, the great apostle Paul walked into Corinth, and as he went to that wicked, ungodly, wretched city that was so full of sin, you know how he went? I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. Why? That the power of Christ might rest upon. You see, God is looking for the child of God's abject, natural weakness. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You know what that really rendered properly? Not more than conquerors, but super conquerors. Oh, God, bring me into that experience, you say. But remember this, in your life and my life, please remember this, the Lord Jesus left us a little message in this connection. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. You see, we want God to work in our life. But I know in your life and mine, often we want God to work in our ways. Our way. Not His way. His way really isn't difficult. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He has told us so. But you see, the problem lies in you and I. That's the problem. The problem is unyieldedness. The Word of God says something to me, and I say, well, that doesn't mean that. Okay. You see, you're not wanting it because it cuts into your will. It cuts into the very core of your life. And God can't work further until you yield to His power. That's not in the way He wants to. In the mercy of God, He often will work, but because of knowing that possibly one day up the road you're going to bow in the way He wants you to. But oh, you see here, isn't it interesting when it says now we are more than conquerors through Him? What's those next three words? That loves us. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love has no torment. Perfect love, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, and of power, and of a sound mind. You see, He gives victory, yes. We need not fear death. Notice it says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, or angels, or principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come. Neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Or if you want to look at the margin of your Bible, if you have a margin, it says any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, This isn't a promise that has some conditions attached that if you do this, God will do this. He didn't say that. Please look at that. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, when he's more than conquerors through him. You see, it's the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The security in Christ is established fact. Oh, beloved, claim it. If you're in Christ this morning, let us claim it and rejoice in it. You see, for this morning, he's teaching us, just let me climax it by closing this way. He's taught me I'm free from judgment. I'll never face the judgment of my sins again. Beloved, if that doesn't cause your heart to be thrilled, listen to what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 8 and 1. There is therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. You see, he paid the penalty. He paid it all. There's no defeat because he lives in me. Christ in me. Oh, to enter into this truth. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live for the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Gave himself for me. God has not left this powerless. Oh, to enter into what he has for me. I'm free. I'm free from discouragement because he's coming again. He's coming, beloved child of God. And look, we're going to be dealing next week, God willing, with the subject of the Jew. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 deals with the Jew. The Jew not as an individual and the Jewish people as a nation. And I believe there isn't any question this is a day in which the Jewish nation is so evident all around us with respect to the conditions in the Middle East. And God is going to show us that the time clock of God's prophetic scriptures have come to a stop with the Jew as a nation, but only temporarily. Jesus is coming. And God, the very moment that we hear the shout, God's time clock prophetically is going to start and is going to commence again. And God is going to deal with the Jew as a nation. Romans 9 and 10 and 11 deals with that subject. You see, there's no need of fear. I'm free from fear this morning because he's interceding. There he is. He's interceding on my behalf. No condemnation. No obligation. No frustration. No separation. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, blessed be his name. What a victory in Christ this morning. Oh, may you and I enter into this more for his glory. Shall we pray? Oh, God, this morning we thank thee. We thank thee for Christ and all that he's accomplished. We pray this morning that thou wilt enable us to enter into these things. Oh, blind unbelief often is sure to err and scan its works in vain. Oh, how many times, our Father, we know thou art the only interpreter. It's only thee alone that can make it plain. We know, Lord, what such portions as we have been looking at this morning are there for our blessing. They're there for our eternal blessing. They're there for us to understand and be brought into the good of all this. Oh God, we pray this morning that Thou will give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to yield and spirits to submit so that the power of God can be our portion only through the love of Christ. Oh, Holy, thank you for this love. If there's anyone here that hasn't entered into, to learn to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge. Oh God, give that man, that woman, such a hunger to know the love of Christ in reality, that they give him no peace nor rest. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.